Hello, testing, testing. So I'd like to start thanking all of you for coming here. I'm very grateful. And it's a special moment because everybody is together. And maybe this doesn't happen so often. Okay. It's very advanced here. So this is a community of Lama Tsongkhapa, no? Around how many people are here right now? 120? So we're all really lucky to be able to be in contact with the Buddhist philosophy, because there are many, many people in the world who are very lost, you know, in their life. So this is a good opportunity also for everybody to advance and evolve in their life and to be able to help more people, slowly, slowly. But of course, we always have to start with ourselves first. Otherwise, it's not much point. We can't really help other people if we don't start with ourselves. So now maybe it's about 11 years since the last time I was here in the Gompa, talking to everybody. So it's been a long time. Yeah, very long. So basically, in those 11 years, what I was doing, I was trying to help myself so that I could come out, you know, and help everybody else with my small mind and my small suggestions and thoughts. So today, I would just like to share some thoughts. And if it's useful, then take it. If it's not, then don't worry about it, you know. Because nobody can really come and give you the truth. You know, or my truth, because this is my truth, it's my path. So, just like inside the religion, usually religion helps people find their own way. But it doesn't give you the way. You have to find your own way, always, in the end. So this starts with the individual. So here in Lama Tsongkhapa, it's a very big community. And without counting the fact that Lama Tsongkhapa is Buddhist or spiritual, like any other community, what we want is harmony all the time, as much as possible. So how do we start with this? So in order for there to be harmony, we all have to be aware of our actions, of our thoughts, not of everybody else's, but our own. That's where we start. So, for example, just to put an example, like we are all brothers and sisters here, it's a community. So, for example, if I criticize someone because I'm not happy with their actions or what they're doing, or I don't agree with the way they live or what they do, whatever. So, if I criticize those people, I'm harming myself. I'm not really creating any harmony. I'm not helping anybody. I'm just feeding my ego, you know, because it's what I think is right. Nobody can know the situation of the other person until you are in their shoes, you know. So better never judge, but if you have to judge, then at least don't condemn. Because we're all changing all the time. Every day, every moment, we're different people. And we learn. Just like until the day we die, we're still learning. So it never stops. There's never a moment where you say, oh, I know now. I'm more wise than the person next to me. It's impossible because each person has their own wisdom. And it never ends. It's always continuing. So the first step for a harmonious community is to be aware of your own actions and thoughts. This is the first step, not of other people. And if you have a problem with someone else, then the best thing you can do is to go to talk to that person privately and say what you think and what you feel so that you can help them see their mistakes. That's what friends are for. To help each other see the things that we cannot see, by ourselves. Yeah. So I'm not saying Raman Tsongkhapa is not a harmonious community. It's just my thoughts for even making it even more harmonious than what it already is. Yes. So inside the community, it's important to see everyone as equal. Whether someone has been here for 30 years or someone arrived yesterday, it doesn't really matter. Of course, the people who's been here 30 years, they have more experience and they know how it works and all this. So they you have to respect them, of course, because they are the ones who will show you how to adapt. But it should be the same way, vice versa. Always. Because when you respect other people, you respect yourself also. So, it's just another suggestion. I think it's important, for example, when we see people like in the center, it's nice to always say hello, to ask them how are you, to offer your help, you know. It's nice, you know, if somebody comes the first time and they feel this bond, this relationship with somebody they just met today in this moment, it really opens your heart, you know, because it shows you that we're all connected. There's nothing, no disconnection, you know. So this is a first step, I think, is to, even if we have maybe a bad day, let's say, no? Some problems with the family, financial problems, or physical problems, or anything. So, for example, if we concentrate on those problems and value a lot the negativity, then we are incrementing the negativity much more than the positiveness. So the positiveness becomes more insignificant and the negativeness becomes much more significant. So our work is to switch that around. Yes? Don't give importance to the negative things and give more importance to the positive things. So in this way, we can slowly start changing our perception of life. So slowly, step by step. It's impossible to change from one day to another. Like suddenly, boom, you know? It's impossible. It's slowly, 1 year, 2 year, maybe even, you know? And everybody, if they can help each other, then it's even nicer, it's better. If there's communication, friendship, unity, support. So for example, if one day you get up and you have some problems, if you give importance to those problems, you're not really solving the problem. You're just creating more problems in our head. We're projecting more problems. So then what comes reflected is more problems. It's not a solution. So what is the solution? What is the best thing to do? For example, if I'm very attached to something and this thing breaks or I lose it, by getting depressed and like saying, oh no, I lost it, oh, this, that doesn't help at all to recover the thing or to change. Nothing. All it does is makes me suffer, makes me more unhappy, and it sends an energy to other people. The other people will try to maybe, some people if they want to help, they'll try to help, but other people they'll not be very attracted. So they'll try to keep the distance. So you're not helping yourself, you're not helping the other people either. So what we try to do is change the problem, not give it so much importance, and make it positive. So then even if we have some problems, we can smile to people, we can give them the best of us, you know? So that way, the other people, they will help us to forget this problem and to even create another positiveness, slowly. So then even maybe the problem will be solved. Because many times we get what we project. So these are my small thoughts that I wanted to share with you. And I have some suggestions also. It's just an idea. If you like it, then go for it. If not, then doesn't matter. I was thinking maybe once a month, twice a month, maybe all the community could go outside the center. One time, maybe community work, karma yoga, outside Lamatsun Kapa, so that everybody comes in contact outside, connection, working together, you know, feeling each other, seeing, you know, like that. And another time, vacation, yeah, picnic, beach, doesn't matter. As long as everybody goes together in a bus or somewhere, so you can really feel the connection. And when you come back, you had an adventure together, you know? So it changes. it's changing the like the monotony of being here all the time. So this is a suggestion. And of course now we are going through many changes. Because we have a new director, Filippo, who unfortunately is not here today because he had to go back to Padua. So, like I said before, it's difficult to understand people's situation from our point of view. So, yeah. So I think it's important to support the new director so that he can do his job well and try to help him as much as possible, because he's the director for a reason. You know, Lama Zopa chose him for a reason. So it's like a mandala, you know. FPMT is like a mandala. And each person, their position is like the karmic yoga. So sometimes if there's many problems, it means those people have to go through the problems in order to reach a certain point where they can continue evolving, you know. So the problems doesn't mean it's bad. It means it's good. Means we're learning, we're evolving. Mistakes are not bad, mistakes are good on the long run if we know how to learn from them. If we repeat the mistakes all the time without learning, then it's not very useful. You know? But we have to take advantage of any situation, turn it around, switch it, and use the opportunity to help ourselves and help other people, to be better people, to be happier, etc. So that's about it. So thank you so much for coming here and listening. And maybe hopefully soon we can go picnic someday. Eat some vegetarian food. Maybe do some sport. Yeah. Another suggestion I had also was, because it's very important, we have our body, which is our vehicle. We have to live with it for, I don't know how many years, hopefully 80, 100, 200 years, I don't know. So it's important to have a healthy body in order to be able to also, you know, have a healthy mind. I mean, of course, it doesn't necessarily mean without the other, you don't have the other, but it helps a lot. So for example, if you do yoga every day, when you do meditation, you don't have so much back problem. You feel better. Your organs inside are in the good position. You know, the blood circles, everything. So your body is very important to have the balance between the two. And yoga is also a meditation. It's breathing meditation, concentration every day. You know, so it's slowly, slowly you see how your body starts appreciating it. Because it's important to listen to your body. So I had the suggestion that maybe we could create some yoga courses in the center for anybody who wants, so that they can compensate with the meditation and the sitting down and the teachings for a long time. And also I just wanted to talk about another point, that usually, like for example, when we practice is the meditation. It's the analytical meditation and practical meditation, yeah, on one side. And then we got the like teachings. You listen to the teachings, you read books, all of this. This is another point. And the third point is to put in practice this. If you don't put it in practice, then it's useless. How do you put this in practice? Everyday life. How you connect with other people, how you react, how you work with certain situations, what your thoughts are. Thought is very important, very powerful. If you think about it, for example, if you look at the cities, the aeroplanes, everything that's been created by the human, starting from each object inside the Gompa, everything. Apart from our bodies, basically, unless it's natural, like a stone maybe, it's created by the mind. It started with a thought. So this is how powerful the thoughts are. Everything you see created by the human started with a thought. So that's why we have to be careful with what we think. Even though other people don't know what we think, when we're conscious of this, it's good to observe why we're thinking like this. And if it's good for us, if it's good for other people or not. So this is one point. And then the third point, of course, put it in practice in every day. So then the three come together, and then we can really advance. You know, this movement, this energy circulating. So I just wanted to thank everybody, and yeah, so that's it. And if anybody has some questions or doubts, please feel free.
Can I ask you something easy?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Dharma is universal. For example, when we talk about Mahayana, we're talking about the vast vehicle, which means the vehicle is the transport. You go from A to B. It's like a method. So it's like the universal method. So, for example, I think it depends a lot about on the individual. You know, you can't really generalize because one individual says something or does something, then everybody else is like that. No. So, I don't know what is the reason or anything. But I think Buddhism is not something like... It starts from the individual. So it doesn't mean one is Buddhist or not Buddhist because everybody else is doing something or this person is... You know, it's like this. And personally, I think I really like that young people come here, you know, and there's the new energy which creates new ideas, you know, more like dynamic, you know. So, I mean, I would support you to be here if you want to be volunteer, or if you want to stay here like that. I mean, I would support you because I don't see any reason why it should be discrimination. Yeah. Yeah, no. Of course, in philosophy, there always has to be a debate. If there's two points of view, so the debate, you learn from that, yeah? So sometimes it's interesting also to have these debates. If there's two different points of views, to take out the doubts, yeah? But of course, each person is different. So for each person, there's a different method, different path, yeah? So for some people, maybe tradition works. For some people, something else works, you know? What's interesting is to get information from different places, and then after, for you, you can decide. And here we make available the Buddhist teachings, which of course is universal, the way you see it. You can take out what you think is not necessary for you, and you take what is going to help you. So this is a very personal thing, you know.
And if I may just add something to that, I think you pointed a very good point, because I think it's really important for us to find new ways to communicate with the people, and you know, I'm very uncomfortable sitting in front of a lot of people, unless I have to do music. But you know, just talking is okay. I'll try. No, but the thing is, like in the past, you know, we had different times, different teachers had gave their own time of period of way of teachings, you know, like that period of teaching. And I think it's the same thing. The only thing is we had advanced a lot. It's just that we have to advance again even more and find more information on how we can relate to the next generation, to the new generation. And so I think FPMT is really contributing a lot to this, trying to find new ways of communicating, and not just FPMT, also different centers. And I would really like to push this kind of idea that we have to find different ways and a way to communicate, you know. And so yeah, it's a good point you pointed out. I just wanted to share my feeling.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, because I also think like religion by itself, it's a little bit limited in the sense it doesn't reach as many people, because today there's many people who maybe when they hear their name religion, they're not interested, you know, because for each person different things work, and so for other people they don't work. So that's why it's important to also be able to reach the other majority of people who will not be reached through this type of method. So I think it's important to start also opening up different paths so that each person can find their own way, you know, which works for them. Yeah. Like an idea I had, I don't know if it will work or if it will happen, but it would be maybe to have a conference here in Lama Tsongkhapa between scientists who study like quantum mechanics, quantum physics, and like Buddhist teachers who talk about emptiness, and to have a conference together and see how those two things are very connected and linked, because they both talk about the same thing but in different styles, different points of views, you know. So I think that's an idea, maybe to slowly open up more, you know, and get quantum physics, like science and spirituality to bond, you know, and then more people will be interested. Because in the end, ultimately, we're trying to help people find their potential, you know, and be able to be in peace with themselves. And then eventually help other people reach that also. So as long as we reach that point, then the method is not the most important factor. The important factor is to reach there. I mean, first of all, I think we're all humans, right? So we can identify ourselves with the person next to us. Because we're all in the same pot, you know? Samsara, right? Some people can call it samsara, some people life and death. It has many names. But I think we all are a reflection of each other in the end. So many times what we don't like about the other person is something that we don't like about ourselves. So sometimes it's interesting to see it that way, you know, because then we can really get in the shoes of the other person and really feel the problems and not only see like the external view from our small point of view, but actually be able to feel for them like we feel for ourselves, you know. So I think that's our common goal, you know. And we're all connected, of course, through the collective memory. So whether we like it or not, you know, we're stuck here. Yeah. And I think, I mean, all of us in the roots, in the deep down, we're all the same, you know. We all have different experiences, different lives, different karmas, you know, so.
No. I'm wondering where you'd like to see the center go in the coming years.
I think the more open-minded we are, the better for everybody. Because we're all changing constantly. So if we think we are, we're making a mistake. Because we are being all the time. If we stop in the river and we try to stay in one place, eventually the river is going to push us down and we'll probably get hurt. But if we try to go with the flow, then we can actually really, you know, do the thing and we reach a place without being scratched or harmed, you know. So I think our goal is to slowly open up more and be aware of that change is not bad. It's actually good because it's part of life. So whichever way, I think it will always be for the good of everybody. So I'm just trying to give ideas so that we can actually be part of that change, you know, and be up to date with today. Io penso che volontario è molto importante. It's like the backbone, no, of the community. Of course, there has to be certain rules and specifications for the volunteers to be able to fulfill their jobs correctly. So one of the thoughts Filippo and me we had was to maybe make it part-time. So maybe you can choose morning time, 4 or 5 hours, or afternoon, 4 or 5 hours. So then you can have morning time free. You can sleep in if you want. Or in the afternoon, you can go to the beach, you can do something. So when you're working, you are more dedicated to your work. You give 100%. Because if you're working 8 hours as a volunteer, maybe 2-3 hours, it's hard to keep, you know, all the 100%. But I think it's worth a try, you know, to see if it can work. Because this is ultimately what Lama Yeshe wanted with Karma Yoga. You know, it's in the community so that everybody can help each other and support each other and exchange, you know, so that there's a balance. If you receive and you give, so that there's a balance. So it's a good opportunity, I think, for many people. Of course, ultimately it depends on the individual. We're not all the same, you know. So each person is completely different. It's a different book, different movie, you know. So we can't really judge from one person to another, you know. I think it's a good idea to try, you know. And if we make mistakes, it's not a problem. We learn from that.
It's a question about the philosophical studies. I mean, I'm doing the master's program, so we've done Abhisamaya, Madhyamika, and Abhidharma. I was wondering if even the curriculum is appropriate for this day and age in the West.
Well, of course, again, we come to the individual. So for some people it will work, for some people it will not. Like when I was in back home in Spain, I tried to teach Tibetan for 1 year. And the first day there was 24 or 30 people. The last day there were 2 people. After 1 year. So I think it depends also whether you think it's worth the try also. For some people it work, for some people not. It's always interesting also to maybe simplify, you know. So maybe if there's someone who does understand, we can have some meetings where he can try to explain in a more simple way to the other people who have more difficulty in understanding this. Or you can also ask the teacher maybe to simplify, make it more easy to understand in a more practical everyday life. But of course, philosophy is not easy. So, I mean, there are many ways to reach the same point. You know, so it's up to you to see whether it's worth it or not. But of course, it's always worth the try. Yeah, because in the end you will always learn something new, which will be very useful. Even though if you don't understand it. I mean, one of the reasons also I left the monastery was I had lots of difficulty with this. And I didn't identify myself with that path. So I had to choose for myself what worked for me. You know, so each person has to see that. You know, if you get to a crossroad, the best thing you can do is to sit down. Yeah? You breathe. And then eventually you'll know which path you want to take. Yeah. Like for example, for some people, some teachers, they have a very strong connection with them and they understand immediately. For some people, they don't really understand, you know? Maybe another teacher will work for them, you know? So it just depends on to find your own way, you know, because Buddhism or religion or spirituality or these concepts, like an example would be if you're in a forest, yeah, a very dense forest, let's say like the Amazon forest, many poisonous things and very dense. And it's nighttime. It's completely dark. And you have to get out of here. So if you try to walk in any direction, you're going to hurt yourself. Maybe you get bitten by a snake. Maybe you fall in the Amazon River. Anaconda gets you. Maybe you get scratched. There's many different possibilities, no? So it's very, very hard to get out of the forest in the middle of the dark. So suddenly the full moon comes up, no? And the full moon helps us to see better. So that way, we still don't know which way we have to go to get out. But maybe if we go on top of a tree, we can see farther away. And maybe we can find a path somewhere the animals use, so we don't get scratched, or maybe this path will lead somewhere. And anyways, if we walk any direction, we'll go faster, and we won't get hurt as much as walking in the dark. Yeah. So the point is getting out of the forest. Yeah. Not going to the moon. So the moon is a little bit like the guru, or like the teachings, the philosophical method. Yeah. So the guru is not the ultimate salvation. He will help you find your way to get out of the forest. But you're not going like to the guru or to the teachings. It's not like you can't mistake the moon to where you're going, because it's going to be very difficult, you know. You have to join NASA first, become astronaut. Become an astronaut. So in the middle of the forest with just our clothes is a little bit difficult. Yeah. So that's why this is just a metaphor, so that you can see sometimes how we ourselves we make things more complicated. Yeah. So the point is to get out of the forest as fast as possible without hurting ourselves. And that's what religion and spirituality and the teachers try to do, is to help you find your own truth, so that you can find your way. And nobody can give you the truth. Nobody can show you the way. Unless you are the one who walks that path. Like, for example, if we go from Lamazzoncappa to Pisa by bus, when you get on the bus will take you to Pisa. We can see the scenery, kind of, but it will not be the same as if we walk from Lamazzoncappa to Pisa. It's a very different experience, you know? So one thing, like going on the bus, is like reading, listening to the teachings. That's like going on the bus. But putting into practice is the walking. So when you reach to Pisa, you know very well the path. So that way you can help other people also to find their way. No, the tradition doesn't necessarily have to be lost. The tradition will always be there, because that works for many people. And it's very helpful also. Like when we visualize a Buddha that represents compassion and love, you know, we are visualizing the Buddha, but actually we're visualizing our own good qualities. So this is one type of method for some people. For me, it's very difficult to visualize a Buddha because I don't have that type of concentration, you know. So I try to do it in other ways, you know. So because we change doesn't necessarily mean we're going to lose the tradition. You know, the tradition can be there. It's just there'll be other alternative ways for other people. So it'll be available for the other people also. Personally, I'm not Buddhist. So I don't know how to answer that, because I haven't studied that yet. So it's difficult for me to give you an explanation. Yeah, so sorry. Sorry. No, because when I was eight years old, I said always to myself, I'm Buddhist. And then when I reached, one day I said, okay, why am I Buddhist? Do I understand Buddhism? And I said, I don't understand very well Buddhism yet. So I said, so if I don't understand, how can I be Buddhist? So since then I decided I was not Buddhist. Even though I completely support and I agree completely with the philosophy, I try to think of myself more like agnostic, scientific, spiritual. You know? Agnostico, scientifico, spirituale. Allora, non so, I don't know, sorry. Maybe in a couple of years, maybe. When I study more. Thank you.
So you still got the opportunity to be his teacher, though.
Yeah, you can teach me, maybe. We all teach each other. So this is for what friends are for, is to teach each other, to help. Oh, about the kids?
The projects.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. I can only plan 3 months ahead. So right now the only project that's almost out is a documentary about universal wisdom education. It will probably come out in April. So we'll probably make some publicity and put it on YouTube, something like that. It's around 20 minutes long. So for now that's the project. And when that finishes, I don't know what next 3 months. Right now, there's some projects, but they're still coming.
Top secret, you know.
Yeah. thank you. Okay. So, yes, more questions. Yeah, I think always. I will always try to come here as often as possible. Because, I mean, this is an amazing place. And also the other centers. But as a matter of fact, this is the first, conversation in a Buddhist center I've had since I left the monastery. So I think from now on, maybe it'll be more often. But yeah, always. I'll try as the best as possible to be available for everybody.
Any more questions?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. What's your question?
What kind of shampoo do you use? I like your silky smooth hair very much. I want to have hair like this also.
I was sponsored by Flora.
Ah, this is a secret.
Where's Rosario?
Rosario. Dove sei, Rosario?
Ecco. My sponsor.
Ah, sì. Vedi che bello. No, scherzo.
I'll just say something. I just like to say something. No, it's very short though, eh? Yeah. It's alright. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna keep it real short. Not like him. Takes it.
Sorry.
Takes you on a journey, you know? Like, you gotta bring your water and everything. No, but that's
yes.
Good. Yeah, what's your cookies? No cookies, no teas. No, nothing too much. My new single's coming. I'm just kidding. No. Anyways. I just wanted to say, you know, I'm really happy how the Institute is, you know, changing in general. You know, it's either, you know, left or right or the corner side or the other side. It keeps on, you know, it keeps it fresh, you know. And we had different courses and now we have different situations and, you know, it keeps it fresh, you know, it keeps it going. And that's nice sometimes because a lot of times if you just stay in the same, you know, it gets boring. And just for our samsaric, human body mentality, kind of, I don't know, that's the right way of saying, but you know what, just the mentality to have something going on, and I think that's cool, you know, something to embrace. But in general, I just feel like people who are in general interested in Dharma and in Buddhism in general, what's important is that you have to understand, what I feel like is to know the being aware, for example, being aware of situations, being aware of yourself and the others as well, you know, both from both sides. But when I say that is, I mean by, first of all, you have to be aware of yourself and how you are and how you, as a person you are, before you can, you know, even think of looking at other person. But of course, we always do that. It's just a way of saying, but what I'm saying is that it's important to see yourself first. And in general, being logic, you know, being logical. And even if you try to talk to somebody or anything, look at the other person's situation. Is it the right moment? These are really little examples I'm giving right now. Just to have that awareness, because a lot of times I feel like we sometimes tend to forget that, and we just tend to follow your own thought, thinking this is the right way, and you just do it without really thinking too much of the other person. Maybe you have a big smile on your face, but you know that's not enough. You know, you have to be aware. You know, because everyone is not the same. I mean, also was saying everyone is the same in a way inside. But I think it's true. We're same in the sense that we all have a mind, you know, and we all are capable of becoming anybody, you know, at the same time. But as a human body, and as he said, our experiences are so different that we are different, you know, and so we have to respect the other's space and time and situation, you know. So, you know, that's just something I wanted to say. I don't know if it's really useful. And maybe you all know about this. I'm sure we all know that, but sometimes it's nice to remind, I guess. And also being logical in general. Buddhism is all about being logic, you know. I mean, we have all the cool meditation and the cool tantra thing that we talk about. But in the end of the day, we have to be logical, you know. We can't go too much on a trip, you know. I mean, we're not sadhus, you know. We're go up on the mountain, smoke a big chilum, you know. I mean, no, we're not in that level yet, you know, at least. But so, yeah. I mean, we could maybe, you know. But right now, we're in a level where we have to, we're human beings in general. So, to be logical. And then also harmony, I mean, he spoke about that already. I'm trying to be the, you know, intellectual guy. Yeah. But nothing, yeah. So again, my single's coming out soon, so make sure you check that. I'm just kidding. No, it was just, I just wanted to say that. Gracias.
Oh, good question.
Top secret, you know. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. But I think I am Buddhist. I think I am. You know. I mean, in the end of the day, yeah, it's you have to really know. It's not about having a statue in your home, and attending one initiation. And in fact, you know, nowadays people here just like to attend initiations just 'cause, you know, I don't know. Just because it's cool, I don't know, it's blessings. Maybe it's because people have here a lot of Catholic influences, so maybe they think, you know, some, giving something is special, maybe. I don't know. But real Buddhists is that you have to, first of all, you have to know Buddhism, you know. For me, it's like you have to know the Buddha story, first of all, you know, to understand his life, you know. And then there's some little things that you have to learn. And I feel like I'm Buddhist. Yeah. Yeah. Is there any other questions before we leave? Just want to make sure everyone's satisfied now. Okay, everyone's satisfied, I guess.
With the old Buddhists that are very stubborn and very static sometimes, some advice to the old Buddhists that some of us are. Because it was said about the freshness that he likes.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to we have to keep it fresh, keep it going, keep it new, keep it acceptable. You know, accept the change. Yeah, I think what's very important is that, or at least what we as a our human, as we're, you know, we tend to not accept. It's kind of in our nature. Like, if it's not our style, you tend to neglect it, you know. And that's something we have to work on and start accepting situations. Of course, only if it's positive, you know. And that's again, when I was talking about logic, it comes back, you know. It's see if it's logic, if this new way is logical or not, you know. That's, yeah. And if it's logical, you just have to, I guess, used to it. It's like your bambini, you know. It's, after a while, you have to accept that it's a kid and he's gonna make casinos. That's a kid, right? So you have to accept it. You can't be like neglecting it. So now you're gonna send to somewhere else, you know. So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like a kid. That's a good example, you know. So, you know, you have to accept the situation and just move on, you know. And if you really see there's some negativities inside there, then help them with, you know, help them guide, you know, to the right direction. But again, as I said, you know, to be aware. So know how to talk to them. Know how to move on to this, you know, to the next level, whatever. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. So just, yeah, short. Keep it short. Karve shingam de pendam de va malu chumen chende sima kenzin gyasuri shabe sinde ardu tenyu chuchi.
So Changqing, Jiangang, oh sorry, what's the Dhamma Dhoka Sangha? Can you start me along the Dhoka Sangha?
Tsuk tsuk tsik!
Next.
Yeah.
I was trying to DJ. Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
I was about to get on the mic.
That's good. And maybe you can add something? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.